Hi, I'm Rich.
And I'm Jimmy.
And you're listening to...
Rich and Jimmy Watch a Film.
Yes, you are, you lucky, lucky audiophiles.
Listening and watching now.
I know. It's really weird having a little camera just pointing at us.
I always forget about it. I like just start just looking off into the middle distance because I forget that it's
No. During that last episode, you were eyeballing that camera like you wanted to find its sweet spot.
I haven't watched it yet. Yeah. I haven't watched it, so I'll have to go and check that out. Check me being all sultry.
Oh, yeah. it is up on YouTube, our first episode, so it is worth a watch. Mm. Just if nothing else, you can see the palatial recording studio that we are sat in.
Yes, yeah, in the big time in my kitchen.
How you been, Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm all right, man. Not too bad. Mentally chuck the toys out the cop, but otherwise, yeah, pretty good. Yeah.
You may notice we're holding our microphones tonight and we haven't got our usual... they wouldn't know this, would they?
Well, if you watched the last one. If you watched the Star Wars one, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot the equipment tonight because my brain wasn't really there. So, there we go.
Yeah.
And another great example of the sort of thing we would normally edit out of... this episode.
Yeah, and to be honest, we wouldn't even bring it up normally if we were just doing it audio only, but...
No, and we certainly wouldn't mention that we were going to edit it out.
Now we're just sitting here like a couple of cricket commentators.
Yeah, lovely. Should we watch a film tonight, Jimmy?
I reckon we should, yeah. I haven't asked you how you've been though, buddy. How are you?
I know, you just don't give a shit.
Not
you?
Really, but, no. You know.
Okay, yeah, fine, great.
forgetful, yeah. But otherwise pretty good.
Yeah, well, you know, I've got one set of headphones. So we're going to watch a movie tonight. We're going to watch a film called The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. One of my personal favourites. It means quite a lot to me, bizarrely. I'm not really sure why, but it's one of those things that absolutely captivated me, and I adore it. And you haven't seen it.
So. No. I know the all of like the cultural... Like, well, not all of, but I know a few of the cultural references from it, and I do know from everything I've heard from people, this is probably something I'd be into, but I've never gotten around to like reading the book or watching the film.
Well, let's break it down. What are the cultural references that you know about this?
There is a Guide to the Galaxy.
Clever.
Mm. Yeah, well, no, and the what is it? The spoiler alert here. The meaning of life is the number 42 or 24, one of the two.
It's 42.
It's 42. Yeah. I couldn't. I said it, and then I was like, "No, that's wrong. You've got it round the wrong way." Okay.
Oh, yeah. Dear, this is going to be a long night.
And you brought round a DVD of a TV show as well. Had no idea
and
there was
some
a
toys.
And some toys. Yeah.
Look at
yeah.
My toys.
They are very cool.
Yeah.
Who cool. are your friends? Introduce them.
So this is Marvin the Paranoid Android.
Is that really his name?
Yeah.
That's fucking excellent.
Vogon Jeff. And that man from The Office.
Morgan Freeman.
No, that is Arthur Dent. Okay, I am a big fan of it. I'm just being silly. I've got toys of it. I've got the books. I've got the radio show. It was originally the radio show first.
Right, okay, yeah.
And then from that, I think they made the books. And then from the books, they made the TV series. And then from the TV series, they made the film.
How was the TV series?
How old?
Yeah, when's it from?
Back in the 80s.
Okay, cool, yeah, cool.
It's fairly substantially old now.
And when did you get into all this, man? Because you said that this is like, you know, this is nostalgia and a big part of your life. So when was it that you got into this?
About 2008.
So 1986, that's what I thought you said, Rich. Yeah, lifelong obsession.
No, I don't know, to be honest. I haven't got a clue. It's one of those things that when you hear it for the first time, for me anyway, I listened to it first of all when it was a radio show.
Okay.
Not when it came out on the radio, but I got the cassettes, I think, and I used to listen to it. And it was just so captivating because it's so silly and it's just absolute nonsense. It really is. Like, the whole story is just full of bizarre and wonderful things that don't ever get really that explained. For example, one of the main things that you never do is forget your towel when you're hitchhiking.
I do remember that,
but why, who knows? Like, there's a few moments in the film where you're like, oh, that's why, and in the story, oh, that's why, but it's just a lovely little nonsense thing. It just takes you away from reality for a bit, and I just adore it.
Because the Sunday just gone, I was watching Scream, which is like one of my favorite like fun, lazy Sunday films. And then I sent you a text, and I was like, "What do you think yours would be?" Like, pretty much straight away you shot back with this.
Well, you say straight away. I think
I didn't. I was just saying that just for the sake of a good yarn. It was about 9 hours.
You said
it was about 9 hours
without thinking, and then I went, "Oh shit!" 48 hours later, here's my response.
Yeah, Tuesday evening, I got the response.
Yeah. A whole spreadsheet later of me working out the times and but no, it would have even if I had have bothered answering straight away, it would have been the same answer. Yeah. It's a great Sunday afternoon film. It's complicated, but you don't have to think about it. It's colourful. It's just a lovely little movie.
Hell of a cast too. I did look up the film just for the budget and things earlier in the week when we said we were going to do this. I had a little squizzle at all that stuff and the cast in it's absolutely banging.
So, do you want to go through them from memory and I'll pick up the ones you forget?
Yeah, for sure. Stephen Fry's in there. Of course, you've got Morgan Freeman. Martin Freeman.
Oh, I get that joke now. Because they've got the same second name.
That's it. Pretty good.
Very, very good.
Same
Justin.
First initial.
Justin made it. Sorry. Very, very good, Justin.
Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, Justin Long.
Oh, I suppose you do have to explain it because not a lot of people know that your second name's Long.
Yeah. But there we go. Now we know.
Should we be back?
Now we all know. Everyone can dox me online now, so thanks for that.
Yeah, you're welcome, Jimmy Long.
Identity theft. I'll get my credit card as well so you can see that.
No edits.
So it's Martin Freeman, Stephen Fry. Mos Def's in it.
Yep.
You said earlier, I didn't know this, but Sam Rockwell. Bill Nye, because of course he is. It's a British film. Bill Nye is in it. Mm-hmm. And Alan Rickman?
Alan Rickman, yeah.
Alan Rickman. What a fucking treasure that man is.
Zoe Deschanel.
Oh, nice. Yep. Didn't know that one.
She plays Trinity.
Very nice. I think that's everyone I know off the top of my head.
I think there's more off the... But I can't think of them. I think it's one of those films where they pop up and you go, it's... You know...
A cameo, I believe they call that.
Do they?
In the biz. These in the crazy. Show business.
I'm very excited for you to see this, though. And I like the fact that you've got no idea what the story is either, because, to be honest, I'm not sure I do. Oh, John Malkovich. John Malkovich.
Yes. You said that. Yep. You said that earlier, John Malkovich.
Oh,
who's friend of the show, you know, from Con Air. Great. Jonathan Malkovich.
I'm enjoying this friend of the show thing.
It's a good bit. Yeah, it's a good bit, hey?
It's a very good bit.
If we've covered an episode on them or something they've been in previously or even just spoken about them, they're a friend of the show.
Yeah, I'd like to. The King.
Are you saying he's the King?
He's very good.
Or are you talking about Charlie Boy? You've lost me.
It doesn't matter. There's another shining example of where we would normally edit.
So I'm excited as well to see this because this is definitely like a gap in my knowledge in terms of like movies and stuff. Because I love my little movies, my little pictures. But this one just, after all these years going by, I never have got around to it. So it'll be nice to finally tick it off the list.
Yeah, well, I'm very pleased to have... facilitated such a...
It'd be like The Goonies. It's a bit of it. It's like The Goonies. Never seen that as well. Another big gap in the knowledge, so it'll be nice to come back with this as well.
I think I prefer this to The Goonies.
That's a big call. Knowing you, mate, that's a big call.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about it, and I think, like, given the choice of what to watch, I most probably would choose this over Goonies.
Did I tell you about when I tried buying a Goonies poster online, like an original movie print?
No, you did not. That sounds great.
Yeah, yep. Until you see the price tag.
Oh, really? How much?
Like 1,500 quid. And then I saw a French one, and I was like, well, that'll be less. Nope, more. It was nearly 2 grand.
Well, those French people, you know, they do charge a lot for their posters these days.
Well, it's just Brexit, isn't it? You got to pay more to get it into the country.
Says the Australian. How much did you pay to get into the country?
Mate, I lied on my financial forms coming in. I did not have the money I was meant to for my visa.
Wow.
But that's all gone now. I'm no longer on a visa or anything, so
hey,
I'm here to stay.
We own you now. You are ours.
I've come back. I've come back to the motherland.
So, back to the film in question, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Spell Hitchhikers.
No. Hitchhikers.
Well done. Well done.
don't say that we don't give you the best content out there.
No, well, you can if you want,
because it's apt. Yeah. Have you seen anything good lately, mate, outside of this film?
Outside of the film,
yeah, like yeah, you know, outside of what we've been watching lately, have you seen anything good lately you could recommend?
Well, I've seen some trash, but yeah. It was just at the, you know, when you're so tired. I went and watched that that new John Cena one where he's a special forces safety guy. This is not going anywhere.
Is it Argyle?
No, it's stupid.
Is he in that one?
It's Freelance. It's called Freelance.
Freelance. I haven't even heard of it.
Freelance on Disney. Watch it. There we go. John Dubb.
Was it shite, though?
Yes, but it was very enjoyable. Good. Very enjoyable.
Yeah,
John
good
Cena,
kind of
friend
trash.
Of the show.
There we go. Yeah. You can just never see him. You just never know where he is.
I love the fact that this is one of my all-time favourite films, and you're like so bored at our conversation, you're bringing up other films.
Oh, I just thought, you know, jump around a bit, man. It's just like jazz, isn't it? We'll find it.
Yes, fine. So, Jimmy, have you seen anything interesting recently?
Yeah. There's Guillermo del Toro on Netflix, man. He's got a really good series called Cabinet of Curiosities. If anyone's into, like, 40-minute horror films, check that shit out. It's fucking brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Well,
Sam Rockwell's in it as well.
Oh.
No, yeah. He's not really.
I knew he wasn't because he didn't say friend of the show. So, shall we go and watch it then?
You wanna talk? Yeah, I've got time.
You want to talk some more bollocks?
No,
you sure? This is going to be an interesting red hot take afterwards.
It is. Yeah. I will, you know, love it, hate it, whichever way it goes. I'll be letting you know.
For the purposes of those of you that are continuing to just listen to this in an audio capacity, Jimmy just pointed at the camera.
Yeah, letting you know.
So depressed.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You and me both, buddy. You and me both.
Right, we're going to go and enjoy the film now, so...
so what?
We're going to go and enjoy the film, so have a lovely time listening to the sound bites, and we'll see you on the other side.
Unless the planet gets destroyed by aliens, otherwise we won't.
By the Vogons.
By the Vogons, yeah, by the Bogans.
By these guys.
By the Bogans.
Bogans. Thanks, Jimmy.
Many millions of years ago, a race of hyper-intelligent, pan-dimensional beings got so fed up with the constant bickering about the meaning of life that they commissioned two of their brightest and best to design and build a stupendous supercomputer to calculate the answer to life, the universe, and everything.
Arthur, what if I told you I was from another planet?
What the hell are those things?
Attention, people of Earth. I regret to inform you that in order to make way for the new hyperspace express route, your planet has been scheduled for demolition.
It's the guide. It's got everything you need to know to survive in the universe. Arthur, this is Aphod Beeblebrox, president of the galaxy.
The answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything is... Yeah.
So we've just watched Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Jimmy, yep. It was your first experience of it. I'll let you lead with this one.
Yeah, it was bullshit.
Thanks for listening.
I hated it. No, not at all, man. It was good. It was really good. So a few things in there that like caught me off when we were watching it was like the thing of, you know, the whole thing of 42. I thought that was the, like, just some big joke at the end of the film where it's, but like watching it was in the first like 30 minutes. Like it's still setting everything up in the movie, but I thought it was like just some just big payoff that they've been looking for the answer. And then it's just like, that's the joke is that it's 42 at the end of the film. So that caught me off.
Well, I think it's become such a social, what's the phrase? Cultural. No.
Yeah.
What am I trying to say? You know, when it comes into society and everyone knows the reference, but it's social.
Yeah, cultural. I can't think either.
Yeah,
I can't think
words. Like, it's not like we need to talk, is
no.
it?
No. It's not like it's, this how this works.
It's going to really bug me now if I can't remember what that's called. I said it in the intro. I know I said it in the intro.
Cultural touchstone?
No, I wouldn't have used touchstone. I don't like that. What was that?
That was our veggie box getting dropped off.
Wow, look at that.
There's just noises all the time in this place, hey?
It's beautiful. Anyway,
it's really good for recording in.
I think your phone's buzzing now as well. We're doing really well with this.
No, phone's not buzzing. I just made some notes because there were some things I didn't want to forget.
Is that what you were doing? I thought you were bored.
No. I was loving it. I was just making little notes. I didn't want to forget anything in this.
Anyway, the 42 reference is something that is in, definitely within culture.
Oh, yeah.
People know it. Everyone knows it. Whether they know.
It's on your cool little shirt.
Is it?
And the shirt you're wearing is about 42, isn't it? The programming.
Yes, it is. Yeah. My little T-shirt. My little T-shirt. It's not little. Thanks for that, Jimmy.
Yeah, no worries.
Anyway, hit me with some of your big ass notes.
Yeah, some of the notes. Just like so, Mos Def, awesome in it.
Yeah, he's really strong.
He's really good because like we were saying when we were watching it, like you asked me if I'd seen Be Kind Rewind, which I haven't. So yeah. Probably do that one on the show, but I don't think I've ever seen him in anything. He was really fucking good. Like, I know him as the rapper, but never seen him acting in anything, and he was fucking phenomenal. And he had me in stitches the whole way, but like one of his lines in there about like time is an illusion, he's just like, especially lunchtime, just like downing a pint. Like I said to you, we're watching it, it's like I'm going to the pub at lunch at work, and fucking if anyone says anything from HR, just hit him with that. Just like,
well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you know, what is time?
Mm.
That's what you need to do. Go into the meeting with HR as they're trying to fire you and be like, what is time?
What is time? Lunchtime? Pint time? Who's to say?
Pint time. Where does that come? Breakfast time? Brunch time?
It's a flat circle, man.
Nice.
So there's tons of good stuff like that. Like there's so many good little like philosophical things in there. Like when the whale's falling and it's like gained sentience. What was once a missile is now a whale with a sentient brain. It's just like whatever. Like and Bill Bailey doing the voice, who's just the fucking best.
Thing is, I have watched that film so many times, and in my head, that's always been Eddie Izzard.
Yeah,
and yet I listened to it today, and it's. Of course it's Bill Bailey. And yet, if I was in a pub quiz, and they said, right, if you don't get this question right, you're going to lose all your money. I would be so confident that it was Eddie Izzard. And I was thinking, like, they re-released the radio show, and I'm sure Eddie Izzard is involved somehow, so I'm going to look into that.
Yeah, okay, yeah, he's been involved somewhere. But yeah, so, like there's that, and then, like, Bill... The other Bill Nye, when he's like, they're scooting over Earth, and he's saying, you know, he's like, look, the chances of you, like, even coming remotely close to figuring out, like, any of us figuring out what the fuck's going on, it's so, like, slim and infinite, it's never going to happen, so just fucking hang on and just, like, keep yourself busy. And he's like, I'd rather be happy than right any day of the week. That's a lovely little, like, just, you know, philosophical line, that. There's so many good bits in there. And they're all just little quips. It's like two sentences, these little just like nuggets of wisdom.
There are some lovely little moments, like I pointed out to you about when John Malkovich's character goes up onto the table and he gets all these mechanical legs coming down and really creepily walks across the table. And yet for some reason they've animated one of them to be slightly gammy out the back.
Yeah, yeah.
Just dragging along. Like, just... And the bit with the carts, where they get in the cart to go and see the planet-making factory. And then as one leaves, the next one comes around and goes, as if it's like a theme park.
Just, it's so cheap. Like, they're in a planet-making factory, but that's so cheap. And, like, yeah, and like, with John Malkovich, his character as well is just amazing. Like, do in his church, all about, like, the great sneeze. Like, those like, the deconstructions of, like, the deconstruction in it of, like, you know, like rampant bureaucracy with the what's the aliens called again? Sorry,
which one?
The bad ones, the ones that everyone hates. Who are gonna
the Vogons?
Yeah, the Vogons. Like they're just what happens to a species if like you know corporations, bureaucracy, and capitalism goes unchecked.
They
you
are just the become... conservative party.
Yeah, the Tories. Like there's that. So there's like that, and then you've got the John Malkovich who runs this church about like a bunch of people who believe things came out in a sneeze, and like everyone's sitting there just like, what the fuck are these maniacs doing? But like if someone was to come to us and sit in, say, like a Catholic ceremony, you know, at a Catholic mass, you'd be like all those little deconstructions they have in there of you know, norms. And then obviously there's the normality they're like, oh, we've returned to normality. This constant thing of like, we're returning to normality all the time. And everyone's just like, well, what the fuck is normality? Like, we've just become, we just were a flower for a minute, or made out of knit and wool. You know what I mean? Like, it's fantastic. All these little deconstructions they have throughout it are just brilliant.
So, I mean, I've read all of the books many, many times. And I think this is a film that, what I like is they didn't make book one, but and then they thought, oh, we can make a franchise out of this. They just kind of made, if it doesn't really follow the story that much of the books. They kind of took okay. all the information from the books, a little bit of this, and just made a film out of it.
Yeah. Just like, and it's like, it is a pretty, like, it, like, not a, like, the bones of the story are fairly classic in the way of, you know, like, there's the romance going on, and then the whole thing of, you know, trying to get back home. Where is home now? Like,
I think the diehard Hitchhikers fan could argue that it's a terrible film, in the respect that if you take like Harry Potter's, where they've taken the book and then they've precisely made it. I know people could argue that isn't the case, but
yeah.
I think with the Hitchhikers, you just have to love being immersed in nonsense. And yeah. the characters, because
yeah.
the story is mad big,
mad big, just like space,
mad big, just like space. But like I said to you, when the thermonuclear warhead gets turned into a pot of petunias, and then mm-hmm. the last thing that went through its mind is oh not again. In the books, it explains that in such detail as to why they keep it. Why they think, oh no, not again. But I'm not going to try and explain it to you.
Yeah, I'll just look it up. Yeah,
but read the books; they're fantastic.
Oh yeah, okay. To be fair, man, I've got a pile of books next to my bed that I just need to just get like crack on with. Hey, yeah, I don't need another five.
Coloring books don't count, do you?
what about the pop up ones?
Well, it depends what's popping up.
Good stuff. Well done.
Thank you very much. Right, let's get back to your little notes.
It's honestly, I just made so many notes just about like their escalation of things, like the deconstruction of stuff, but then also like the escalation, like that shot at the beginning when the spaceships turn up to blow up Earth, like to demolish it, and there's that pullback to show how big they are. And it does it like 20 times, just showing a little bit more every time. That is one of the dumbest fucking things I've ever seen. But my God, did it make me laugh. And then it holds, showing you the whole fleet once it finally gets out after like 20 pullback shots. It holds for like three to four seconds. And you're thinking it's going to do one more pullback, and then no, Earth just gets absolutely vaporized. But like that... Yeah, that constant like escalation of just how stupid all that bureaucracy stuff is, and just how pointless it all is. And eventually it gets like not only about, you know, bureaucracy being stupid, pointless, just the quest of finding any meaning to your existence in this mad big thing, as you would put it, like space.
Mad big.
It is pointless. Like, they get to that point, but it starts with a man, you know, not wanting to bypass through his home. Then it's like, well, now it's a fucking bypass coming through Earth. Like, the perspective shifts are just amazing. And then they get the perspective fucking rifle. Like, it's so good. It's so fucking good.
But just before all that about the Vogon ships and the dramatic pulling back until the world, just before that, just as they announce they're going to blow up the Earth, there's a scene of like people panicking in the streets screaming, then a scene in Brazil where everyone's screaming, then a scene somewhere else where they're screaming, and then it cuts to a field where all the sheep are going meh. Yeah. And it's just so stupid. It's so cleverly funny, though. It really is.
And like with everyone panicking as well, I really liked that there was like, you know, two sorts of trades of thoughts there, where like everyone was panicking and losing their fucking minds, and then a lot of other people just wanted to lie on the floor and put a bag on their head because they actually realized that they couldn't deal with it and what it could be. And, you know, not to get too political, but I would also say that's very much, you know, sort of like a lot of people's reaction to like climate change and things like that as well. It's very fucking good with a lot of that stuff,
and it's old too. It's
yeah,
even like a exactly. New film that's been made,
and that was another point I was going to make. Whether I don't know whether Sam Rockwell's character was in the older, like the original books and the radio
show. So the character wise in the originals is very similar, like Ford Prefect saves Arthur Dent from the world blowing up. That first bit with the earth blowing up, that's how the first one starts.
Yep.
And they get, you know, and then they get onto the ship with Trillian and Zaphod, but then the adventures change. Like,
yeah,
you know, at the end they mention going off to the galaxy, the restaurant at the end of the galaxy.
Yeah.
That's all interwoven into the...
So that would go on to the next adventure in the series.
And... Well, I think they threw that one in there in case they went, oh, this was really good, let's make another film.
Sequel, yeah. Done.
But the problem with the books is the time, it's not linear. So they go there, then they go back in time to here, and they're forward and back, and it's just madness.
Well, I was going to say that's another thing with Sam Rockwell's character thing. That's really interesting. They absolutely nailed the idea of a populist dickhead getting elected to the highest form of office that you could have. They fucking called that shot and absolutely nailed it. it was really good, man. Like I say, the philosophical stuff in it is right up my alley. That thing of the meaninglessness of trying to find meaning is really like that. I love that sort of stuff. It's fascinating, but you know, it's also very happy. It's a very happy little film.
It's like, such a happy film.
Like, it's not bleak.
I could imagine if you were in a really down mood and you watched it, it could conjure some bad thoughts in your head from some of the questions it asks.
But it also gives very cheery like counterpoints to it in the way that like Bill Nye's thing sums it up perfectly. I'd rather be happy than right. Like, why waste your time bashing the head up against the wall to like find the answers to things that you can never be, you know, that you'll never be able to properly answer and that you'll never be happy with. So like, yeah, like strap in and just keep yourself busy. Like, yeah, like, yeah, maybe that is not what everyone wants, but
do you now see why I called it a good Sunday afternoon movie?
Yeah, for sure. And because you definitely don't need to be paying like 100% attention to it either. Like, you could definitely just have that on in the background as well and just, you know, either be pottering about or sort of half on the phone having a nap. And
do you think you'd recommend it to people?
I don't know. To be fair, most people have probably seen it. I'm probably one of the last people getting around who haven't seen it.
Sorry.
I don't know, though, whether I would. I don't know whether I would. Like, if they were sci-fi fans and that, yeah, but it's also an odd one, I think. I think, like, I got a lot out of it, but I could also see that people might just kind of gloss over it. You know, it's not as deep as, like, what it comes off as, you know what I mean? It's just a bunch of silliness and being like, well, that was a bit daft.
What did you think of Zooey Deschanel's acting in
Jimmy? I was wondering when you were going to come round to that. That's my only big gripe of the whole thing is Zooey Deschanel's acting in it. She's not great.
No.
I like her, I really do, but I don't know, there was just something about it in there where she was just completely just like emotionless.
I find that a lot with her, though. I find that she seems to rely on her cutesy little eyes, her cutesy little voice.
Yep.
Like, if you look at her in Elf.
Yeah.
Where her character is very much like exactly the same as Trillian.
Yeah, and most characters that she plays in anything is that there is that pixie thing for sure. But I just really noticed it in that, and I don't know whether that's because you've got fucking Sam Rockwell with two heads leaving everything out there that you sort of, you know, and Martin Freeman is just a really good solid actor. So I don't know whether it is that you've got that sort of going on. You're like, wow, like, you know, fucking Sam Rockwell's absolutely lost the plot in this, and then you've got someone who's like being shot at by 10,000 lasers, just going, I have a plan. Like, ducking for cover.
So we mentioned a lot of the people that are in it right at the very start. We were going back and forth and trying to remember everyone. But we left out Warwick Davis.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
that man, to me, is an absolute legend. Harks back. He was a little bear, wasn't he, in Star Wars?
Yeah, absolutely was. Yeah, and he's the... He's the leprechaun in the leprechaun series.
With Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's in all of them. He's the leprechaun.
He was in Willow. Like he was.
He's in the Harry Potter ones as well, isn't he? He's the goblins.
Yeah, he was a teacher in Harry Potter as well, wasn't he?
Oh shit, you're right. Yeah, he's the herbology teacher. No, no, he's not. No, 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 he's not. He's
Professor
the one.
Flit.
Yeah, that's it. Swish and Flick. He's yeah. that one.
Limgodia. Leviosa.
Leviosa.
It's pronounced Leviosa.
Yeah, that one.
But I think it would have been remiss, even though he is just walking around in a costume. There's still a talent to creating that character because he's playing a depressed robot.
Yeah, yeah, it has to have depressed physicality, like which it does. It's got the hunch, like the obviously it has a huge head, which is like, and he says, "My brain's the shape of a planet," but he's literally walking around like the world is on his shoulders all the time. Like, you are exactly right with that.
Because I alluded to the depressed thing at the start, and because you hadn't seen it, you didn't get the reference. When I went, "I'm so depressed."
Yes.
And like you looked at me as if to go, like, "All right, that's weird." Yeah. And then you went, like, "I'm depressed as well." But I was referencing the film.
Yeah, yeah, so was I. There's the line where the other person says, "I'm really depressed as well."
Yeah, when but no worry, and Helen Mirren as well.
Yeah, 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 is the voice of was it Deep Thought?
Deep Thought.
Yep. Yep.
You wanted to say Deep Throat,
didn't
you?
No, I didn't.
You wanted to say Deep Throat, Jimmy.
Yeah, well, All the President's Men, it's another great film.
What?
Deep Throat, that was the code name for the guy who was the whistleblower for Watergate.
Oh.
Yeah, that was the code name.
Well, there you go. There's a bit of historical fact for you.
Learn something new every day.
Every day's a school day, as they say.
That's right.
Well, I'm glad it was a very positive experience for you, Jimmy. I would have hated for you to have watched that.
No, no. And I can see as well, like, we were saying that, you know, I was watching it and I was like, oh, I wonder whether that was kind of, you know, sort of twisted into a joke in The Simpsons or whatever. But, like, watching it, I could see, and obviously, it coming from the original stuff, I'm going to take it from you, it's fairly close to the sensibilities of the original television and the books and everything.
It's a loving tribute, yeah. I think would be it's certainly not a good it's not where they've taken the story from the books and gone.
No, but the themes film. And the sensibilities and everything.
I think it's lovingly done.
Yeah, yeah, because I was watching it and I was thinking,
you were.
Yeah, thinking
well,
to myself,
well done, Jimmy.
Thinking to myself, oh, is this, you know, like something from The Simpsons? Maybe, oh, was this a reference to it? And then I was watching the movie and thinking, well, that's like a lot of it was very Monty Python-esque in terms of like some of the ideas and these deconstructions of like our sense of like social norms and stuff. I was like, that's very Monty Python-esque. And then so much of it as well is like Rick and Morty. Like, I don't know whether you watch it, but
no,
I was a big fan of it. But like so many ideas of Rick and Morty are definitely owed to that, without a fucking doubt.
Well, I mean, it goes without saying that it's been around for a very long time.
Yeah.
A lot of people will have ripped it off in some respect, even if it's just for, like, because they've read it, enjoyed it, sat in their brain for a bit, and then they've gone to write something and thought, this would be a good idea.
Oh, totally. And, like, an homage, man, is everything. Like, you know, like, anything paying homage to, you know, something that you enjoyed from your childhood or whatever, like, is fucking great. I love that. I love little winks and nods to things. Because it's like when they rebuild Earth, and I said to you, I was like, well, hang on, everyone's still, like, dead. Like, that doesn't, like, they built a new Earth, but everyone's still dead, which wasn't the case. They rerun the life span again. But I think I thought that because of Rick and Morty, because they have similar things in Rick and Morty where, like, they fuck up. Like, Rick and Morty do something that fucks up Earth irreversibly. So they bail and find another alternate reality where they've been killed, and they find that time and like intersperse themselves there, get rid of their dead bodies and take over themselves in that timeline to then continue on their lives because they've fucked up their other one.
Amazing.
And like I can 100% see things like that in, like, you know, like in Hitchhikers.
I'm still trying to remember what the phrase is when something's in society.
Part of the zeitgeist.
No, that's too clever. It's just a phrase you say, like we said it about Star Wars. It's just
pop culture, yeah.
Yeah.
Popular culture. The I really loved as well.
I give up.
I really loved as well.
Tell me, Jimmy, what joke, did you really love as well?
The joke about the book and how much it fucking costs, man. When they say like why it's the most popular one, and it's this infinite collection of, you know, infinite possibilities of the entire fucking universe, And everyone, like, the main reason why everyone really likes it is because it's a bit cheaper than the fucking other titles.
But again, I mean, if something's cheaper, you...
This is it, right? It's exactly right, but it's such a stupid fucking thing. Like, you would expect, you know, aliens and, you know, beings from other dimensions to have, like, higher senses and stuff. And it's just like, nah, everyone loves to save a fucking buck. It's very good. It's really good.
Well, I'm really keen for you to go down the back catalogue of this now and have a look at the TV series and listen to it on the radio.
Yeah, man. Yeah, have you still got your cassette tapes, man? Can I rewind them with a pencil and shit?
I have still got the cassette tapes, actually.
Do you?
I have the box set.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
that joke worked well, didn't it, Jimmy?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, because I do actually have the cassette. Still got it. I've got it on vinyl as well.
Well, I do have. I could actually play that. I do have a record.
I noticed that. That's why I mentioned it.
Yeah, and you brought the DVD with the telly show, so I might.
The telly show, like that.
Yeah. Oh, you put the telly show on. Go on, play me stories.
Honestly, when you see Zaphod's second head in that, it's a thing of nightmare. It's just. It looks like. Do you know those resuscitation Annies? It looks like one of those has just had its head cut off, stuck on it, an eye patch put across it because it looks like a bit like a pirate.
Yep.
And then every now and again, its mouth moves very similar to Yoda's.
So they probably put like some wires or something in there with a rotor, to make it go.
Absolutely terrifying.
So, I mean, that was one thing that we both said when we were watching the film version here was just how good the practicals in it looked.
Yeah.
With that, like, that was fantastic to see. And I made like a little quip when the spaceship crashed. And it all just happened off screen. There was like a little crab puppet sort of moving around, and you heard it all happen. Chucked a bit of debris, and a little flame bit landed, and then it panned around. And I made the quip to you of just like, "Oh, saved a few quid there." But as I said, I would much rather that because it still looked good. You know everything that happened, and there wasn't some shitty CGI ship coming down, crash landing that would have looked rubbish.
That was just a really beautiful model that had been crashed into it.
Yeah, exactly. And everything else is implied. That's fine.
They must really didn't save any money. They must have spent it all on all of those masks. Yeah. If you looked at one of the Vogon masks, for example, all the individual hairs have been pushed in, they were just grotesque.
And those like alcoholic, like, you know, thin red veins under the skin and that, like they looked great.
Yeah, they're cool.
That was very cool, man.
Well, there you go then. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, no, it's a winner, mate. Yeah, I don't know like whether I'd rush it, whether I'm going to rush to watch it again, but. I know I'll enjoy it when I do.
Well, you may not. You may never see it ever again.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you could be dead tomorrow.
Yeah, that's it. And it doesn't matter.
No.
As the film has taught me, it does not matter.
As long as you're happy now. Mm-hmm. He can't even talk. He's thrown so much beer in his tummy. Get it in you, Jimmy. Get it in you. So, well, there you go then. That concludes our...
I'm so happy.
Our episode on The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That's all we have to say.
Yeah,
I reckon.
I have nothing else to say now. We've covered it all. The only thing left to say is remember to go and like us on all your socials. Follow us on there at Rich and Jimmy, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. If you want to
YouTube
now as well at Rich and Jimmy for sure. We'll get that fucking going. Make sure you subscribe on there. That's a massive help for us. And then if you want to leave us any reviews or anything on wherever you're listening on the podcast, again, like that, like all those things are just like massive helps to us.
We've not actually had a review for ages.
We haven't. No, we'd love some more, please. Like, we need them. It's like it feeds us now. We're part of this horrible machine, and we need this to keep going.
I really want to find out who Stew 2 is and why they're having a bad time with the Doll's House. It was one of our reviews, and it made me laugh so much.
It was really nice though, having someone say like, "I'm having this absolute fucking mare with this Doll's House trying to put it up," and then I played this, and it just made everything okay again. It's like, well, yeah, made a positive difference to someone's day.
And he said that we had beautiful voices.
I did too, and potentially beautiful faces. So Stu, we're on YouTube now. You can go and see how wrong you were, mate.
Yeah, I was gonna say, look at this grotesque couple of Vogons sat here. Hello.
all the socials, all that good stuff. Like, share, tell your mums. Just get it out there.
Tell your mums what?
Just how good we are.
What?
At podcasting.
That was so creepy. Because anyone that's just listening to this, Jimmy, won't see how creepy that wink was. But if you're watching it on YouTube,
it will.
Horrific.
Absolutely so horrific.
So thank you so much for listening to this drivel.
As always.
We'll be, our next film, I think, will be something else.
Yeah. So we've done two sci-fi in a row, so we might shake it up now.
Yeah. Or maybe shake it off.
Shake it off. A little bit of Taylor Swift. What's a good quote to finish on for this one, man? I mean,
there's so many. How many roads must a man walk down?
42. Take his brain!
Oh, I don't know about the quotes. Because the thing is, there's so many funny moments. There's so many sort of quite touching things. I don't know.
That's not a presidential kidnapping form. Those are blue.
Yeah, that is a quote from that film, Jimmy.
It tickled me, that one. Yeah. It tickled me.
I don't know. Let's just say don't panic.
Yeah, perfect. Well, fuck, man. Good one.
Thank you very much.
That's right. Then that is genuine good advice. Yeah, don't panic.
Don't panic. Enjoy life.
Yeah. I'd rather be happy than right.
Oh my God, that film is amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty good, man. It makes you feel pretty happy, to be fair.
And don't forget to stick a fish in your ear. Right, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Ta-ta.
Bye-bye.